a former Royal Stadium vendor turned radio icon.
It's all tonight on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Your home for everything that's f-ing great.
He's been in a band.
I don't like you.
And he's not to be trifled with.
I'm a hard ass. I'm sorry.
He's Todd Liebo. He's Todd Liebo.
I'm getting really sick of guys named Todd. Hi, what's your name? Todd. I'm Todd.
On the program.
That clip is never going to get old to me.
You know, I'm getting really sick of clips from George Carlin, but I'm getting sick of.
I heard one that was a comic saying nobody famous has ever been named Todd, or no one knew.
Who is the most famous? Are you the most famous Todd ever?
Famous Todd Liebo?
Todd
Blackledge?
Todd Zeal.
Todd Zeal.
Todd Bridges. Remember Different Strokes?
Yeah.
Todd McNair.
I lost a job
Todd
to
Haley.
Todd Bridges.
You lost a job to Todd Bridges? How can this be?
I didn't lose the job because I made it pretty clear. I asked for like 2.5 times what they were paying.
To do what?
When Pete and I got fired back in the old 15-10 days, I went up
so you weren't up for Willis, the
no,
role of Willis.
No,
that was done already.
You'd have been a little young then, probably.
I got flown up to Chicago to try out to be the sports guy for Man Cow in the Morning.
Wow.
That would have been a different life you had.
It would have been different. And so I did, I don't think it was a week, I want to say like 3 mornings. The reason I like he wanted me to be called Crunch Kelly and act like I was Irish and I had an Irish temper.
How was your Irish?
I said, well, I got the temper part, yeah. But I'm not Irish.
Where's your accent?
I'm not Irish.
Do me a little Irish.
And I was
right
like,
on. Come on, Crunch.
I don't think he can do it.
And so they like the end, the guy is the, I don't know, he's the producer, the program director, whatever he was. He's like, you know, well, what are you looking for? And I'm like, well,
$2 million.
Like, yeah, I'm like, yes. Two. And they're like, yeah, we were thinking like a little less than half that. And I'm like, well, okay. It's this much to call me Crunch Kelly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You want to just call me by my name? Okay.
Yeah, maybe so. But
there's no future in playing the role of Crunch Kelly.
No.
Right?
So Todd Bridges took the job?
And so Todd Bridges ended up Todd Bridges.
Did they call him Crunch
Kelly?
They had
a plan B. No,
he was Crunch Bridges.
They're like, okay, let's try to do it. And so I heard he lasted like 2 weeks.
He was Willis Drummond. Is that what he was on the show?
I don't know.
Wonder if they would actually do that. That would be their catchphrase. You know, make everyone laugh. Because it was what they said on the show. Oh, that would have been
what you talking
edgy
about, Crunch? I don't know about another Todd. There's probably a
Todd Haley.
Todd Haley,
NFL.
Is there anyone not in sports? Is there an actor or actress?
Well, Todd Bridges.
Or actor, I guess.
Let's go to Google
Todd
and type
Bridges
in the name
that's
Todd
the best
and
of the
see
best
what comes up.
Go to IMDb. There's a Todd out there somewhere.
I'm going to go to Google and see what be. Todd comes up first.
Famous Todds. Not much.
There's not much.
Todd Helton.
There's a well-known
all athletes. Yeah. Give me something not athletes.
Todd Crisley. Remember Crisley knows
no
best that show. He's in prison now because he's a fraud.
There's the well-known magician. Ta-da.
Todd Rundgren.
Todd Rundgren.
There you go.
That's a good
there you go.
One.
That? That's the best one.
He's a singer.
He's a musician and performer. He's
get out of here. I go back to Curtis' original statement. There's never been a famous
never
Todd.
Never been a famous Todd.
Todd Phillips, producer of The Joker. There you go. Tony Todd. There's not a lot of Todds.
No, not a lot of Todds.
Man, you know,
stands tall amongst his peers.
Bob Duslier just texted me Todd Rundgren. See, he's on
yep
the note.
Who's that?
That's the best
he's
one.
He's the singer.
Todd Rundgren.
Todd Rundgren.
Whatever.
That's his name
is
of the song. He will bang on the drum all day. Yeah. You know that one.
Hello, it's me.
I don't want to work.
Play the guitar,
bang
all the guitars.
On the drum all day. Yeah.
Play all the guitars on the Meatloaf Bat Out of Hell.
Yeah.
Okay.
You knew all that.
Phenomenal
the Meatloaf
producer.
Bat Out of Hell. You know everyone who played everything on that.
Yeah, that's me. I nailed it. Let's play the feud. We need a contestant. That contestant has a name. His name is Barry. Barry, congratulations on wrapping up a very successful television stint there on HBO. I thought your show was fantastic.
Sorry about the end.
It is a great show. I didn't have anything to do with the ending, though.
Okay. Yeah, well, obviously not. You definitely didn't see that coming.
Here you are.
But here you are. Barry, thanks for joining us. You know you got a decision to make. Do you want to play with me? Do you want to play with Todd? Do you want to play with Curtis?
Oh, Saran, you know, you're a Shawnee-Mission East Lancer. That's what I am, brother. We got to go together.
We will. Absolutely. Let's kick some non-East ass.
Got a couple of rich kids on the show here.
We got a couple of Eastern Jackson County kids.
We're going to pummel some Raytown and Independence ass is what we're going to do right now.
True story.
Me and Barry. You want to go first or second, Barry?
Why don't I lead off? Because you're a good cleanup hitter.
You're too kind on that one. But, Barry's going to bat lead off for us. What's going to be for you,
Your choice, Curtis.
I'll go first.
Curtis, okay. We go first, and then me against Todd.
All right,
write this down, Adam.
Write this down. He did it. He's got his pen.
Barry v. Curtis, the first round. Me v. Lebo, second round.
Got it.
Barry, can we test your buzzer real quick?
I bet his buzzer's good.
Barry.
There it is. Yep, that's good. That's good. You're all set. You're all set. You don't even need to be fast because Curtis is slow.
Yes.
Okay.
Guarantee you'll win the jump.
All right.
Give me Drake. Give me Ben.
No.
How about give me Barry? Give me Curtis. Name a dead comedian you'd like to see perform live.
Curtis. Robin Williams.
Robin Williams is the third best answer out of five. Barry, can you do him one better?
Richard Pryor.
There you go.
Richard Pryor is the number two answer.
See, I knew it was better. I knew that was a better answer.
You guys want to play?
We want to play, don't we, Barry?
I think so.
Answers 1, 4, and 5 remain.
I am going to go. I'm going to leave one that I think is definitely there and
go
another.
Are you quit talking here? That's cheating what you're doing.
Sam Kinison. Ooh, all right, I should have taken the one. I thought he would have made it. Okay.
Strike one.
Oh, my turn? Oh,
yep.
Yeah, it's my turn.
We're going to go every other person, Barry. That's how we're going to do it.
Me and you.
Yeah.
Now, can you ask? I've forgotten. I guess I got the brain block. Help me out. What was Curtis's guess?
Curtis said Robin Williams. That was correct.
Oh, okay. That's a good one. I got the one. I think it's number one. George Carlin.
Yep.
I can't. We just mentioned the Carlin bit.
They asked the
question. That's why I don't win very often.
Number one answer. Answers 4 and 5 remain. You have one strike.
That's the one I was leaving for Barry. Because I'm like, I'll think of lots of these. And now I'm like, I am. Kinison was the only other one I had. Bill Hicks. Good Lord.
Not a bad guess.
Sombrero it. Both those guys were good comics.
No, Hicks was amazing.
And dead, right?
Yep.
And dead, yeah. Yes. Dead, good comics.
And it's my turn again, gentlemen.
Yep, back to you, Barry.
Yes, sir, Barry.
Okay. For, I think he's croaked. Oh, I know. Loved him. Jonathan Winters.
Okay.
Did not make it.
All right.
Three strikes.
This was harder than I thought.
Answers 4 and 5 remain. Four is worth 14 points. 5 is worth 10.
Wow.
So they got quite a few points.
Mitch Hedberg's dead, right?
Yep. Lenny Bruce. I mean, they like
give me
Pryor
some other
and
names.
Carlin.
Because they didn't like Sam Kinison.
Greg Giraldo.
Who's the other? That might be a little neat.
Freddie Prinze.
Patrice O'Neill. Famous. And
it's
he was
bunch.
Recent-ish. Hmm. Richard Belzer die?
No.
Good for him. Good for him. you think Mitch Hedberg's a guy that our audience would vote
I think
for?
They might. I think they might be 4 or 5. Him or...
They didn't go Bill Hicks, though.
Or Lenny Bruce. Just because it's a name
people
know.
Yeah, Lenny Bruce was famous.
People, they might not even know, watch
Come
him.
Come on. Him. Let's go.
Seren, who should I let
growing
choose
a beard
this?
Over
Curtis
here.
Or me?
You're the idiot. You figure it out.
Let's go Mitch Hedberg. We're going to do Mitch Hedberg again.
Stunned he did not make it.
Yeah,
I was very disappointed in our listeners, actually.
I was really disappointed.
Probably someone's alive.
What are we getting? Jesus?
Yeah.
You know, little known.
76 points going to Barry and Seren.
Thank you.
Cha-ching.
Number 5, Andy Kaufman.
Oh, dummies.
Number 4, somewhat recently deceased, Bob Saget.
Oh, forgot about that.
Saget. Wow. I not even a thought of Bob Saget.
Okay. You were kind of full house, man.
Yeah. My fuller house was on my little one. Like
whatever
house.
Happened to predictability, man?
He popped in there every now and then.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
All right. Give me Todd. Give me Seren.
Yes.
Name an opponent in any sport that has been the victim of a Kansas City comeback.
Petro. The Cardinals.
Not on there.
What?
49ers.
Wow.
49ers, the number 4 answer.
All right, we'll play this, I guess.
Let's do it.
5 total. 49ers, number 4.
Eagles.
Numero uno. Most recent, I suppose.
Well, I guess I see where this is going.
The Houston Texans?
Number three answer, the Houston Texans. Answers 2 and 5 remain. You have no strikes.
If you don't run the A's, you're morons.
Oakland Athletics, the number two answer. Number five remains.
I'm going to, this is maybe a risk, but keep the line moving. Houston Astros. Nobody cared about that one. Nobody cared about that one, Seren.
That they didn't, Todd.
It was a risk to do that one.
Wow.
I should have done the other one.
That's only your first strike.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Either way. I'm worried Curtis is going to strike out twice here.
Yeah, I might. Titans.
Ooh. Strike two.
Well, they go World Series. I mean, the Mets. They came back a couple of times on the Mets.
Oh. Wow.
Wow.
Strike three.
Well, there went everything I had written down.
I can tell you that it's a little obscure and only 7 points.
We got a niche one here?
Give me the question again.
Name an opponent in any sport that has been the victim of a Kansas City comeback.
Victim of a Kansas City comeback. Did the Vikings get up on the Chiefs in that Super Bowl?
I don't recall. Curtis, you were alive.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. They came back on the Texans to finally get a playoff win. Right? Didn't the Texans score first? The Texans have already said so. Yeah, I was thinking of the
Kenyle Davis.
The Texans never even scored. That was a shutout.
The Kenyle Davis Texans game.
It was 30-0.
Don't call that a comeback, then.
No, do not.
Kansas City sports. Is there a Tom Watson rally that I'm not thinking of? Was there a Kansas City Kings? What are we missing on a Royals? Like the Royals come back and how about the Blue Jays in 85 when the Royals came from 3-1 down? But if they wouldn't have the Cardinals down 3-1, why would it be the Blue Jays?
But I like that, Seren. I think that's maybe in the right direction. He said obscure.
Yeah, we don't have any other ones, do we?
I wish I could think of something. 2015, we weren't down, though, because we won 8 in a row to start the playoffs.
Yeah, the Texans, yeah. Titans, Niners have all been said.
All right.
Got down to the, what was it, this, the way to the Eagles. Who I've already forgotten. What about the Bills? Coming back with 11 seconds on the Bills.
I like the Bills. I think the Bills.
Okay, we're going to go Bills.
I had to 93 points, by the way, going to Todd and Curtis.
The Steelers with Joe Montana.
No, I had to look this up. It was a regular season one against the White Sox. It was the game where there was like 7-1.
Oh, they scored
White
eight
Sox
runs in
going into the bottom of the ninth. Yeah.
And what's he?
I left that game and listened to the rally on the way home.
Really?
I have no recollection of this game. What year was this?
It was a Sunday. It was 2016. It was the year after the World Series.
Oh, never mind.
And like the Brent dude, who was the outfield that went to Oklahoma that played for the Royals for like had the gray
hair. None of us can remember it.
It
was a Saturday afternoon.
Okay, a Saturday or Sunday,
whatever.
Eibert or Eilert or something was.
Brett.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Brett Eibner.
A's. Farmhand they traded.
That's what it was.
No, Brett Eibner was then drafted out of Arkansas.
The
Arkansas,
drafted?
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
Then they traded him to the A's.
Okay. I think that was his first major league game.
They rarely traded with the A's.
First of like eight.
Yeah. He drove in the game.
Saw most of his career.
Gem second round pick.
All right, here we go. Give me Curtis.
Answer.
Here I am.
Other than a tortilla, name something you need for a burrito.
Curtis. Beans.
Number four answer out of
six.
Come
on, Barry. What do you need for a burrito?
What do you need for a burrito? You need cheese, gentlemen. Cheese.
Yeah.
The number two answer. You guys want to play or pass?
We got to play. No,
we're going to play.
Yeah.
Yes.
There are six total answers. Cheese, the number two answer. Beans, the number four answer. Off the board.
Okay. Meat.
Number one answer, meat.
That
45
all the
big ones. All meats.
Of the meats.
Every of the meats.
Okay.
Pico.
Yeah, there you go.
Good to go.
Pico and or salsa.
Okay.
Accepting both. That's the number five answer. 6 more points.
I'm gonna try some rice.
The number three answer, 11 more points. You have no strikes, a chance to sweep. The number six answer remains.
I think we're going to lose this one, Curtis.
I think we are. It's looking bleak.
Yeah. What was Curtis's? What was the number four?
Curtis said beans.
Beans.
You know why, too.
I'm thinking green onions.
Okay.
Did not make it.
That's the answer I had written down. Back to the drawing board.
I'm going to go sour cream.
Ooh. Did not make it.
Berry.
One strike.
Berry. Berry.
Lettuce.
No such luck.
Okay. Dude.
Curtis, Todd,
what do you have?
Veggies are kind of out.
Peppers. I mean, I was like peppers, maybe.
Yeah, I thought, I'm thinking of.
They don't like onions, though.
No, so if I don't like veggies, guac was probably not.
Ooh, guac.
Want to try some guac?
You'll put guac inside.
But they didn't put sour cream on there, so.
I like either peppers or guac.
Peppers.
And I'm putting this on you. Peppers?
Yes, I have peppers and guac written down.
95 points going to Barry and Sarin. The number six answer, guacamole.
Oh,
there you
damn.
Go. There you
damn
go.
It.
We would have had it.
There you
my
go.
Who's got that extra money? Not
up
me.
Up your nose with a rubber hose, Lebo.
No guacamole.
That guac.
Think I'm running around with a couple of dollars in my pocket?
Zach Greinke boycotted.
Yeah, no more Chipotle for him.
Chipotle. He didn't like that they were charging for the guac.
How could he afford it?
That's a principle. He's a man of principle.
He really is.
My favorite. Don't be messing with my boy Greinke.
Never.
All right. Give me Todd. Give me Sarin. Tested the. I wanted to see the age of our listeners with this one, or at least my Twitter followers. Name the very first video game console
Lebo.
You received.
Wow.
Lebo.
I'm going to say probably Atari 2600.
Not on there.
What?
I'm going to go Nintendo.
The regular Nintendo is the number two answer out of seven.
I am not a video game guy since my sophomore year of, well, I guess we probably, my junior, senior year of college is like the last time I had a game console. What do you think?
I'm
not going to be able to steal anything, Barry, but what do you think?
I'm even less than that, partner. I wish I could help you, but
okay,
it's not an area I'm strong on. I'm strong on, you know, the actual figures of a
passing
pretty woman. But
yeah, well, let's try to strip a couple off and see if we can get them to swing and miss again. So should we play?
Well, if you think it's smart, I just don't feel strong at all in this.
Well,
way.
But we're gonna, like, if we pass, we have to get one. Now we can take three strikes, and then it's on them.
You're right.
And at least we hopefully knock a couple out. So I think we'd be better off to play.
Good strategy.
Okay.
All right, Barry, what can you do?
Barry's up.
Chicken Man console.
That's strong.
What did you say?
The Chicken Man console. Don't you guys know about the Chicken Man console?
I do not.
I don't, but I love it.
I'm going to say, so what's been said?
The Chicken Man console.
Yeah. Right.
The Atari 2600.
Which was a buzzer.
It was a buzzer. And the only one that's been clicked off the board so far out of seven is the number two answer, the regular standard Nintendo.
I'm going to say Sega.
Sega Genesis, number three.
You give him credit. He didn't know the Genesis.
I did. I just wanted to go to, if he said more information.
I know what you're doing.
I was going to add.
I know your game.
Gentlemen, what was the first one that was mentioned?
Atari was Todd swung and missed with.
2600.
Okay, wow. Man. boy. Sega 100.
Sorry, Sega's already been said.
But not the
100.
Could have been different.
Not the 100, though.
Well, it's still a buzz right
now. The rare 100 was a jewel of many a child on Christmas morning. I'm going to go Xbox.
Number five answer, the Xbox.
Ah, boy, it's back to me. Sorry, and I'm sorry. I'm
every
sorry.
Other time
you're,
it comes back to you.
You're all right, Barry. At least we've gotten a couple off the board for him.
You've done a great job. You know, it's this new movie out here. I'm going to call it It Ain't Over, game console. Great movie by Yogi Berra.
Sadly, that didn't make it either.
I'm guessing.
But it's a great movie, fellas. It's a great movie.
Yeah.
PlayStation.
I've never owned a video.
Answers
game
1, 4, 6, and 7
PlayStation.
PlayStation?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be there.
Number four answer.
That's four? So is was one
that
like,
is, hang on, let me do some quick math.
That's 30 points?
That is 53 points going to Todd and Curtis.
So what's one? Was it different PlayStations or just one PlayStation?
The number seven answers.
Twitch.
Number seven answers the Game Boy.
Game Boy. Okay.
Number six is the Nintendo 64.
64.
And number one, the Super Nintendo.
Super NES.
Super Nintendo.
So what we found out is your followers are younger
basically
than me.
Basically my age.
Yeah.
Because nobody had
that was
a television.
The first game console
ColecoVision. Come on now.
All right, Barry. We'll dig down. We'll get tough. Yeah. We'll take it right here.
All right. You got to go.
We're Lancers. We're Lancers.
That's right. We're not done.
Give Lancer me Barry. Up. Give me Curtis, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
By the way, Adam,
be ready,
job.
Barry. Be ready, Barry.
Killing it on the order so far.
Thank
you're
you.
Doing a good job today.
All right. Give me Barry. Give me Curtis. Other than regular coffee, name a drink you'd get at a coffee shop.
Barry.
Barry.
Curtis.
Hot tea. Sorry.
Say that again.
Hot tea.
Tea did make it. That was the number six answer. Out of six.
So you're just the regular coffee is just like a cup of black coffee.
Cup of black coffee.
Okay.
Espresso.
Espresso is the number four answer.
Well, I guess you play, huh?
I guess.
You guys want to play a pass?
Sure.
I hope you're Googling coffee drinks right now, Barry.
From something I did never had to something I almost never had.
Cappuccino.
Number one answer. Good for 33 points off the board. By the way, Barry's guess, tea was 2 points.
It's on the board.
I'm going to say a latte.
Oh, boy.
Number two, 30
Google,
points.
Barry. Google.
Okay, so read these off to me. We got hot tea.
Hot tea is gone. Uh-huh. I'll just say tea of any form All is tea. Gone. Espresso off the board, latte off the board, cappuccino off the board.
And how many are there?
There are answers number three and five remain. Two left.
What's been said again?
Cappuccino, latte, espresso, tea of any form. Barry said hot tea, but any tea.
Okay. Is it like a cafe mocha?
Did not make it.
But that's a thing, right?
Back to the drawing board.
Isn't
I thought
deal?
Of that.
I mean, that's a thing, right?
I wrote down mocha.
Okay. These are all the things I don't buy at the coffee shop.
I can't think of the name of it.
Say something that sounds Italian. Gober Sosby.
It is... agua. There's a specific drink I'm thinking of, and I can't think of what it is.
It wasn't agua?
No.
Really?
Two or three strikes.
That's How about two.
That's three, isn't
that's
it?
Three?
No, it's just two.
That's four. By no. My how many
this is our last strike. I'm just about to get one. How about a frappuccino? That's a thing, too, right?
It is.
Okay. All right.
How did you phrase the question?
Other than regular coffee, name a drink you'd get at a coffee shop.
Drink. So my kids will get like, they'll go to Starbucks and get like the little Danish things and stuff. But,
smoothies, lemonade,
soda. I put down soda, like, but I don't even think they sell that there.
Oh, they got it. You need it. They got it. Super cheap, I think. That's how they work it.
What, yeah.
It's what they're known for.
They're always real cheap. Oh, come in and get this from our $6 menu. And then we'll charge you $28 for 4 ounces of soda.
Yes.
Well, the coffee shop's going to have things like muffins.
But it's a drink.
He said a drink. Yeah.
Thank you for getting me back on the solid.
I mean, I don't know. Milk or like cream? Do we like, is there like a chocolate? I don't know. I don't drink coffee, so I don't go to the coffee shop.
And so I used to live in New Orleans, and of course, they're famous for their coffee au lait, which is, you know, half chicory coffee and half milk. Do you think that's been said?
I'm open to literally, like, if you got anything, you're ahead of the game on me.
Right.
I think it might be the Atari.
Yeah, it might be, or the Chicken Man console, but that was a good one. They're out of business. But, you know, Soren, my thought would be smoothie, because there are people that don't drink coffee, and we've had hot tea, and I would think a smoothie would be...
All right, we're going to go with that. We're going to go smoothie.
Wow.
So is it enough?
30 more points
30?
Going to Todd and Curtis?
It's not enough.
No, no,
we're
no,
still alive.
No, 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 no. 70. 30 is what's left. 70.
Oh, 70. Okay.
Oh. Oh. No.
I think we couldn't have knocked off five answers and gotten 30 points.
Well, what was the other? What was the other answer?
The number five answer was hot chocolate. The number three answer, iced coffee / cold brew.
Oh, the cold coffee.
Oh, God. You know what? Just because of that horrible thing that Adam did there in making us think that we're still alive and the fact that I let you down.
I'm evil.
I'm going to go ahead and give you the gift card, Barry. I think you've earned it. And as
I tried.
You
I
did.
I had some good answers. Yeah.
Yes, you did.
Barry, gentlemen. Don't forget this movie. It ain't over. It's Yogi Berra's movie, and I'm not a Yankee fan, but I love Yogi Berra, so everybody's got to get out and see the movie. It ain't over.
We will head out. We will head out. Barry, thank you so much for playing, buddy.
Thank you.
All right. Get him on hold and get his information. Get him his Hen House gift card. Thanks to our friends at Hen House. He can go check out, you know, like I said, the pork tenderloin. That's on special. How about some sirloin fillets, USDA choice, certified Hereford beef, 6 ounces, just $5 each. Get over there, Barry, and enjoy henhouse.com to see all the specials and more. Todd Lebo's here. We'll get to some Lebo sounds or Todd talk.
There really was a chicken
lines.
Game. I'd never heard of that. No. That should have been on there. There was a handheld game called The Cool Chicken.
Yeah.
Way to go, Barry.
Yeah, Barry's on it.
Boo to Adam's followers. They didn't know.
Right there to Adam's followers. That's what we got right here. We'll take a break. More with Todd Lebo next here in the program.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer. Among Hall of Fame quarterbacks that entered the league after 1960, who has the fewest postseason wins?
Hall of Fame quarterbacks entered the league after 1960.
Mm-hmm.
So that would not be
Bob Waterfield or
Len Dawson. Yeah.
I would initially go to Dan Marino, but there's probably someone who was it like a someone besides that. Someone is it older than Dan Marino?
Yes.
Okay.
80 years old today.
So this guy was born.
I looked at the baseball birthdays because I know how you think. 80 years old today, which would have put him born in 43.
Yeah,
should
he
make
lives.
Him, which would make him 79, which would have put him playing ball 60s to 64.
Like John Brody in the Hall of Fame or something dumb like that?
Brody is not in the Hall of Fame.
Is he alive?
Brody is still alive. I can give you a hint.
Joe Cap?
No, he's not in the Hall of Fame.
No.
Yeah, we want a hint.
Is Jack Kemp?
I got
a
guess. Fran Tarkenton.
Nope.
No, it's definitely not Fran Tarkenton.
Okay, played in 3 Super Bowls.
Yeah, you an idiot.
It didn't mean he. Well, he had to win one game to make Super Bowl back then or something.
He had to win two.
Give us
He might. You guys are struggling.
Joe Namath. That's classic.
Joe Willie Namath.
Like three games.
You love crapping on Joe Namath.
Has two postseason wins. You know who has as many postseason wins as Joe Namath? How about Brock Purdy? How about Blake Bortles? Rex Grossman? You know who has more than him? Mike Tomczak.
Sure he does.
Tony Eason. David Woodley. Jay Schrader.
Oh, there's a list is immense.
Your passion for Joe Namath knows no bounds.
What is Joe Namath's touchdown to interception ratio?
173 to 220, I think it was.
Pretty good.
Your passion for Namath is about the only thing that trumps my passion for Aikman.
Yeah.
And his wonderful ability to hand off.
Stay tuned to Frank Opinions.
Oh boy, more Joe Willie.
We judge who the most overrated quarterback is.
I gotta vote.
Forward to that. Cajun food from Jazz. You can get it tonight. Great live music.
You.
Great Cajun food. It's at Jazz, the Louisiana Kitchen. The Legends in KCK. That's where you find them. And then 39th and State Line right there by the University of Kansas Health System. Great Cajun food at Jazz, a Louisiana Kitchen. Get there tonight on your way home. JazzKitchen.com online. Todd Lebo's with us. He's brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. Todd.
What's
you know, if you mention A10, you'll save even more at Family Leisure.
It's what you tell me.
Hot tub, spas,
must be true.
Pools,
must be
patio
true.
Furniture, best patio furniture around. It's at Family Leisure, K10 in Ridgeview.
Did Hole Punch ever go get the spa he was talking about? Or is he just still talking?
I don't know. He's probably, you know, he's, you know what he strikes me as? A guy that goes in there like 19 times.
Well, he's got to make sure it's right.
So someone's there, looks around at everything, asks if he can get a suit on and try out the one
Did
that's got the water
for
in
me?
It.
Yeah, turn this on.
There's
for
usually
me.
One that has a water, that's got the water in it and going, can't you see him? Schultz just, you know,
ready to go.
Saddling up the stairs.
In his F1 jersey.
That would be good.
Came to my house the other night in his F1, his Ferrari F1 shirt.
Was, really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It's a better look than his McLaren orange.
I didn't see who won the Monaco.
Monaco was won by Max Verstappen.
Is that
wire
the guy who always
to
wins,
wire,
right?
Yes. He's the two-time defending champion.
Yeah. As a kid who was in our
Did you watch
troop,
Indy?
I watched a good portion of Indy.
Did you watch two different people wipe out in the pits? I watched Indy last night.
I was watching Indy at a pool, so I wasn't really watching Indy.
I watched it last night.
I saw the one. I saw one at the very end. The guy just went,
yeah.
That, like, that, how
twice.
The hell did it happen
twice?
Well, they don't.
I'm glad that you saw the guy because it was the one female driver did it earlier.
Oh.
Now, she was claiming something broke on her car.
These are professional race car drivers. They're driving expensive machines that go very fast.
Yes.
But the guys and girls who are there now are not. This ain't the Unsers and Snevas running through who have tons of experience. They look amateurish at Indy these days. They couldn't get through. It took them 45 minutes to get through the last 15 laps of the race because they kept wrecking.
Well, but they didn't wreck at all until then.
Right.
Yeah.
Because
they didn't
shows
have a yellow
just
flag until like lap 96 or something.
Yeah. Was that a competition caution?
I felt bad the moment.
They don't do that. They
someone
do
threw,
that.
A, threw a hat on the. On the
and by
track.
The way, Blaney ran away with the Coca-Cola 600. It wasn't exact. We know that Monaco is a glorified parade.
Right.
So we expect that. Right. That Verstappen won, made it to the first turn over Alonso. This thing's over.
It's done.
Right. There was actually drama because they had rain in Monaco.
So they had to do something.
Well, and they were like, it was only raining on one part. And so then they weren't going to the. So they had people kind of sliding around and crashing. So there was a little bit of fun there. But Indy was pretty nondescript, man.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, it looked beautiful. They had a really nice crowd there. It had gotten a little less populated over
they had,
some
they had
years.
300,000.
It was a really good looking, looked like an old school crowd.
I think,
there. It was
I
fun.
Think they were, I think, would they pass the pandemic last year and just people weren't back or something?
I think
or?
They just haven't. We were sitting there where I was at this pool party kind of watching them. They're like, was this the IRL or what? And, you know, I said, honestly, I don't know what it is anymore. I don't know who's sanctioning Indy 500. Is it the IRL?
Or no idea.
Is it made something else up? I don't know who's in charge of it, but I know it's fun. I've been there many times. It is
really
an amazing spectacle. I've been there like six or seven times.
Wow.
And
braggart.
Well, when you drive in a van with some dudes and you sleep in a tent two nights and you don't shower when you're like 24 years old.
That's awful.
You know, I haven't been there. It's been a long time. But it is something to see. I mean, it's a deal. But they lost out because they broke up into the two different sanctioning bodies, and then some of the drivers went there and all that. It got business gets in the way of everything, and then NASCAR got so big
that CART and
some of the, you know, Tony Stewart was driving at Indy 500. Then he went over because NASCAR is where you can make money. So a lot of these guys. So the people who are driving there, I mean, like Helio Castroneves is still there, but there are a whole bunch of names like.
I honestly,
these guys are.
The only guy, I mean, I recognize the guys that have been in it for a little while. Tony Kanaan, and it was his last 500, and Sato, who was dueling for it for a few years ago. There's a handful of guys that have been around quite a bit. And then I recognize Roman Grosjean from his F1 days.
But when I used to go there.
You're right. I'm like,
kids,
I need a program.
Like, you know all these guys.
Sneva,
Mears.
Al Unser, Bobby Unser.
Grosjean, he wrecked his car failed. I saw him. Lose it.
Well,
his car just crap out.
They really did. That
he sucks. He sucked in Formula 1.
Probably as much attention got made at the race.
He was most known for catching on fire.
I'm sure
F1.
More people saw the tire flying than saw the end of the race because that's a scary.
And they didn't do much on it in the race. I think they were like, we don't know where this went. We're not going to discuss it.
So I saw the first place I saw where it hit was Twitter, because somebody was in the parking lot.
Yeah, somebody was in the parking lot.
So I was watching as I wasn't in the pool yet. We were there watching, and I was like, what the hell happened? I started looking, because they were showing stuff, and then there, if you found it, someone's driving up, and there's this Chevy just lasted. And I think it was a lot higher than it looked. The perspective was weird. It didn't miss people by like 2 feet. It was about, looked like about 10 feet over their heads. But the perspective
10 feet over their heads with a tire coming at 100 plus miles
an hour. That's pretty close.
60 pound tire coming at 100 plus miles an hour.
That's
10 feet.
Pretty close.
I would have been freaked out.
That's
they have a lot of safety features. I mean, the fence is high. It's curved. All this stuff,
and the tires are
they're tethered. They're not supposed to fly. But it was such a weird thing. And part of the reason that the dude ran into the wall for no real reason, and he was having trouble, and the other guy comes up and just clips him, and that's why his tire flew off. Had the guy not just driven into the wall, they wouldn't have had that happen. But it was frightening, man. That, because I've been there, and you think about those things. You're like, boy, these things are just, what if... flew off like that. Now, I would never have sat back in turn two. Those are awful seats. I would have sat back there. You've got to be on the front stretch or turn four. Man, you got to be in the short chute. You're not going to go back there. Driving so slow back on two? No way. You got to go penthouse paddock up high. Northwest Vista. We got one time we sat in the Northwest Vista. Worst race ever. Who was the dude? Juan Montoya won by like 400 hours one time. We're like, we're up there and like, is it, what are we watching here? He was half a track ahead, 2.5 miles. My best seats I ever had. You could see almost the whole thing. It was awesome. And it was a dud of a race.
I watched about 10 minutes of it, and the two things I saw was I saw the pit wreck, and then I saw it was about lap 86, I think maybe, when the guy who was last, the first guy to get lapped, the guy who was in first was right up on the guy who was lapped and saw him go around him. I thought, that's got to feel pretty bad. Someone's gone. And I,
they couldn't start. Yeah. They're all going around the parade lap, and the officials out there, get off the track.
Yeah.
Get off, and they wheel him back, and then he starts two laps down. They're like, well, you know, it's a long race. Shut up. Well, he's two laps down.
But for a second, I thought the guy got lapped. For just a second, I feels like he's in second. You know,
he's right there.
I'm right behind the leader. Yeah. I'm a lap down, but he's 20 feet in front of me.
You're there at the race, and they get the parade lap out, and they're still starting 33 cars.
Yeah, three across.
It's three wide, and it's really cool. They get their grid out there going, and then someone's like car craps out, and you're like, oh, what a dud. They're there all month with all the carburetor days and all this stuff, and they get it's time to go. Whoops. Well,
he had a battery issue. Next and the year. Best part about Graham Rahal was like, it looked like it was the first time his crew had ever tried to disassemble the car.
I don't know where this goes. What am I supposed to do?
They literally couldn't figure out how to get the panel off to get to the battery. And I'm like, they're like, there's a guy pointing at it. And it's
there's a screw right there.
Like, that guy appeared to be going, well, then do it, jackass.
You know how.
I got a flathead. Who's got a Phillips? How do I get this off here?
Yeah.
It's gone.
Like,
it looked great,
you,
but it's not what it was. In
you roll an F1 car in, and they will have that thing in like 30 seconds.
And, you know, the NASCAR guys are
oh, can't get this panel off.
That's supposed to look like me and Robert Gordon there in his garage working on his Camaro.
A crowbar and wedge this thing off here.
But so I didn't watch any of the NASCAR race, so it was a dud too.
Well, Blaney it's a long race and
yeah.
And
daytime to nighttime. It's
nobody lets up at the end, so there's lots of crashes coming down the run. But so they tighten back up, and then Blaney'd run away from everybody. So yeah, he just had the best car.
He got the best car.
He had the best car.
That's how it's going to go.
Yeah,
how it's going to go.
Are we going to hear some?
Yeah, let me play two sound bites for you here. The SEC spring meeting is going. We've talked a lot about, you know, Eli Drinkwitz and his comments about the whole reason I was excited about the SEC media days was not about the other stuff. I want to know if these people are going to get off their butts and vote tomorrow to have 8 games or 9 games in the league. Okay? And the coaches aren't the ones voting, by the way.
Chip Patterson told us last night he thinks they'll just kick it down the road. It'll be 8 again. They'll vote next year.
That's what I think, and that stinks. But I'll play two sound bites for you here. The first one is Eli Drinkwitz, who is, from what we've discerned over people who are on the record, he's kind of a lone wolf in the what you would call the lower half of the league, the lower revenue things, but he's all for playing more games.
I'm on a 9-game schedule. I like the setup of 3 permanents. I think the more permanents that you have, the more that you can measure your program against consistent opponents. I also think it preserves the basis of the SEC. I think, you know, the Southeastern Conference is the best conference in college football because of its fans and the passion of its fan base. And I think you run the risk of losing that with short-sightedness of, this schedule's not fair for me. It's not fair for me if I have to play eight or blah, blah, blah. I think the reality of it is preserving the primary and secondary rivalries of this league, I think, are important to the league. I think it's important to the fan base. I think it's important now more than ever with the competition for dollars and passion in sports. You move too far away from it, you're going to open the door for fans to travel to other venues for entertainment.
I agree with everything he says there. I'm going to say that right now. I think he gets that part of it. And the people who...
Was that what's best for Missouri?
Probably not. But I think he's speaking as someone who's a fan of SEC football.
Who would be there? Because they're talking about going to nine and having three that don't change. And right. Then rotating the other six. Who would be the three?
I think for Missouri, if they're talking about these kind of quads, it would be Oklahoma, Texas, and Arkansas. That's what I think it would probably be. Because I don't think A&M is going to allow Texas to be one of theirs, if they do it that way.
So you think this would be quads? Is how they
that's
would.
That's kind of how it felt.
But would winning your quad get you to like a SEC semifinal?
I don't think so. Who knows? They're going to not have divisions. I don't know what the hell they're going to do. They could just go by who's the best in the college football playoff standings when they rank them and say the top two are going to go play. I mean that's where a lot of these are going. I don't know. But let me play Nick Saban for you. Okay, I'll play Nick Saban. We'll come back and we'll talk about it. Here's Nick Saban, who in the past has always been a champion of a nine-game schedule. Doesn't sound so much like he is now.
I think whatever happens, happens. I think there's so many things that probably sort of go into this in terms of eight games versus nine games, including TV contracts and things that are way beyond my scope of visibility. That I'm sure a lot of those things will, sort of factor into it. But I still am always of the opinion that we should play all Division I games. Now, I've said this for years. So whether there's 60 teams in the Power Five conferences or 70 teams or however many there are, that it's better for fans, it's better for strength of schedule that we all play all Power Five, games. So however we get to that, I think that's the best thing. I think one of the more difficult things with going to nine games is, we've tried to schedule two out-of-conference Power Five games to try to improve our strength of schedule over the next, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. And if we go to nine games, we'll have to unwind that.
Forget about unwinding. BYU just unwinded their life to come join this league. I appreciate they play some good teams. Here's Alabama's non-con this year. Middle Tennessee, they're playing Texas, South Florida, which is not a Power 5 team, and they got UT Chattanooga on there, which is Division I FCS. So, sorry, Nick.
We'll come back and talk about it. Ty Lebo's with us, brought to you by our friends at Family Leisure. It's been a lot of fun watching Curtis sit here and rip Joe Namath the whole time.
NFL Network, he's ripping Joe Namath.
NFL Network's playing the first ever Monday night game between the Browns and Jets, and he's ripping them. Ty Lebo's here. He's brought to you by Family Leisure.
I'm ripping Nick Saban.
K-10 at Ridgeview. Yes, you are. K-10 at Ridgeview. Hot tubs, spas, pools. It involves family and fun. Poker tables, shuffleboard, arcade games, you name it, whether it's a gorilla basketball goal or a trampoline, if it involves family and fun, it's at Family Leisure. Mention 810, mention the program, tell them I sent you, and you will save even more. They are fantastic. Dennis and staff, absolutely wonderful. Go see them at Family Leisure. Todd?
There are 14 teams in the SEC. Okay.
Fact.
How many 16. Of these 14 teams are going to play two FBS opponents this year?
Zero.
No? Two. Florida is playing Florida State, as usual, and they've got Utah. There was a really good game last year in the Swamp, remember, and they're going out Salt Lake City, so they've got that. The other one is South Carolina, who's going to play North Carolina Labor Day weekend. They play that in Charlotte. It's a neutral site game, and they got Clemson on their schedule, so they play them. Now, South Carolina has balanced this out by rolling Jacksonville State and Furman as their other two. So they went, all right, we're playing two FBSs, but we're going to play two FCSs for the others. They're the only one with two FCSs. My point is this. And here's the problem with the people who say we don't need to have nine right away because ESPN's not going to give them more money. This is a weird year because this is a transition year from ESPN and CBS and everything going out of the SEC. So this is a kind of a weird year. In 2024, every SEC game is going to be owned by ESPN properties. ABC, ESPN, SEC Network.
It's going to be great when they're all on ESPN Plus.
Well, they're SEC Network Plus. Might as well be the same thing. They're trying to make people buy that. But people aren't going to buy that to watch UT Chattanooga games. They want to see the real games, okay? And if you're going to have this many games and you're going to have you're putting two of the traditional heritage programs in the world in your league, you can't just play eight of them. You know the SEC, the storied SEC, how many games they've been around since 1932, this league has, okay? Mississippi State and Georgia have been in the league together since 1932. How many times have Mississippi State and Georgia played? 90 years of being in a league together. What would be a ridiculously low number?
45.
To 26 is even stupider?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, wow. That's how many times they played. What is this league? What on earth is this
league? It's your league, Todd.
Not yet. It's not.
It's your league.
Fix it before they get in there.
It just means more, Todd.
It just means we're not playing everybody all the time. It's, you know, we get so, and but here's the deal. We get wrapped up in these big games, the ones that happen every year. You know, Auburn, Alabama.
The Georgia schedule and the Alabama schedule last year were jokes.
Well, and the Georgia schedule is not much better this year. Now, no. Georgia played Oregon to start the year last year, and Oregon ended up being a very good team. But it was Dan Lanning's first ever game, and they boat raced him. But by the way, Georgia was awesome, okay? Georgia this year, they're going to roll out UT Martin to start it, okay? Ball State and their UAB for their third non-con, and then at the end they play Georgia Tech. Now, Georgia Tech stinks, but it's Power 5. It's in Atlanta. I get it.
That's pathetic. But that is a pathetic schedule.
It's awful.
For a reigning national
champion. Now, it takes two to tango, right? They have to, and these schedules get made years in advance. But if you only have to schedule three games years in advance, that makes it a lot easier. You've already got your other one, your SEC game scheduled. They wouldn't be whining about this if they only had to pick three of them instead of the others. The Big 12 schedule, by the way, they just announced some times and stuff for some new ones. And my mind exploded when I looked at this. Because, like, the first one on the list is UCF and Kent State. I forgot. Well, UCF's in this league now. So that's Thursday night. They've got UCF and Kent State. By the way, Kansas, we know they're opening on that Thursday, August 31st. They got a game time now at 7 against Missouri State. Program ends early that day. Sorry, 5:30. You're done. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'll be ready.
You okay with that? And Kansas also got a game time for their Nevada game, late night, 9:30 out there in Nevada on September 16th.
Well, but where'd your head explode?
Well, but just when I was like, oh, I forgot. These
Central
are real
Florida,
now.
BYU, Cincinnati.
The Sam Houston BYU game is a Big 12 affair.
By the way, I believe it's pronounced Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Are you excited for the UTSA Houston game coming up Labor Day weekend?
I find it interesting to note that Central Florida is like the fifth favorite to win this league, and then three of the bottom four are the other new ones.
BYU's getting no love.
And then Colorado and Arizona are the prime targets out of the Pac-12. They're picked, like, their odds are the longest and, like, next to longest.
Yeah.
Really grabbing some football powers.
Well, they need some TV homes out in Arizona, I think.
Yeah, I I'm all for it.
Yeah,
but I was like, oh, not exactly grabbing the elite.
Well, the Pac-12's losing some big TV. Well, no one watches in LA, but they're losing those after next year,
for sure, for sure. Thank you, Todd.
Yep,
Frank is next.
All right, how many players have been on both a World Series team and a Final Four team? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.